It is now officially 6:05, and I'm going to call the meeting to order. Can we go ahead and start with a board member roll call? This is Paul Ashton, chair, present.
Bobby Strang, member, present.
Jeff Tignor, member, present.
Great. We do have one member of the public here. Do we have any public comments?
No.
No, okay. So we can move past the public comment period. If the board members present could review the meeting minutes from our May 16th meeting, then we can have a vote of approval. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
It's a motion to approve.
Is there a second? Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
The minutes are approved. That moves us into the old business category. Is there old business?
There is no old business tonight.
Oh my gosh, we're just breezing through. I know you guys are deeply disappointed at over there. Agency report.
I will try to talk very slowly.
Please.
All right. For the board members and the other members of the office and public, here in the packets are a printed agency report, and what I'd like to do is just go through some of the highlights of the agency report so that I don't have to repeat everything that's already in front of you. The first thing I want to indicate is to remind everyone that our next meeting is the third Thursday in November, which would be November 21st. Probably would be a good idea to check your calendars tonight before we leave to see if that's an issue, so that we could, if it is, because it's getting towards the Thanksgiving holiday time period, if that's an issue, we'll see if we need to move it or not, or talk about whether that date's okay. Is that okay?
It works for me. Okay. I'm just putting it in my calendar.
Yeah, it's fine for me too.
It's fine for me.
Okay, so far, so good on that. Very good. The next thing I want to mention is that to talk briefly about the number of complaints that we're receiving. This is an update that we've been having for the last 2 years now. And I want to alert the board that we are currently receiving, again, significantly higher complaints than previous to 2 years from now. When we get to the statistics part of the report, we'll talk about it more in detail with Mona Andrews, but nothing's going down. That's the bottom line, and still going up. The DC Council did approve our extra investigator position effective October 1st, and we'll be hiring somebody as soon as we can to fill that position. And also tonight, we recently hired, tonight we have a new investigator with us. We recently filled a vacant position. That's Catherine Moody.
Welcome.
Yeah,
she is joining us tonight. So you'll be seeing her name on some of your complaints and dismissals very shortly, I would think, right? and we're looking forward to that. Today was her first day on duty, and she survived. That's always a good sign. I also want to indicate that it's been, at our last meeting, there we go. I'll hold off a second here. We had just started.
Sure.
One of the things, welcome Morgan Kane, the record chair reflect Morgan Kane is present. We were discussing before you came in that our next meeting is the third Thursday in November. November 21st, is that potentially a good day or any conflicts for you?
Let me double check. I think it should. Is that Thanksgiving week?
That's the week before.
Oh, the week before should be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. The next item I want to talk about is on our critical issues update. The second item, I just wanted to update the board that the DC Council did finalize a $150,000 allocation to our budget, again starting October 1st, to conduct an independent review of MPD's Narcotics and Specialized Investigations Division. So now that we're going to have that money, it's a sure thing in our budget. We're going to work on identifying a contractor or vendor to help us complete that report. It's going to be a years-long process. The report isn't due really for, I think, a year and a half, almost 2 years from now is the last date. We're going to be looking at 2017 through 2019 calendar years within that division. So we're in the process now of formulating a scope of work contract, and then we'll identify a vendor that's familiar with policing and law enforcement policies and practices to come in and help us with that report. But again, it's going to be some period of time before you see that the actual completed report. We're going to get started on it in the next few months. Mm-hmm. Our renovation is completed. We got brand new chairs today.
It's really nice.
Yeah, they're okay.
I meant the facility.
Yeah, I didn't think you meant the chairs.
No.
MPD recent next item, critical issues update. MPD published the NERAC data for the July 22nd to August 18th. I sent the link to all the board members. In your packet tonight is a snapshot of the report, just one page of it, just as a reminder to people that the report is out there. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to have a further discussion on it, we certainly can. I just wanted to bring it to the attention of the board that the report is out there. We're going to be looking at it in more detail. A lot of other agencies are going to mm-hmm. look at it. It's in the infant stages. I think my opinion on the initial report is it's fairly well done. I have some reservations, as do other agencies, in that we don't have access to the raw underlying data from which the report is generated from. And I'm not sure who exactly put it all together. And that probably will be, I bring that up because it probably will be a point of contention with community groups too, because we'll see how that all pans out. The community is going to want to see, I think, at some point, we're going to want to be assured that the raw data is coming out correct and it's being collected correctly. And as I sit here today, I can't tell you that it is, only because I haven't looked at it in as much detail. When we get our research analyst position filled, which again should be within the next 2 months, we're going to be looking at that in more detail. About a year ago, when this all was coming to a head, I had offered to the chief, the police chief, that we would help them on this report and help develop it, and if we had the capacity and if we could have a way to, if we figured out a way to do it within our budget and within our personnel staffing, that we would do the report for them so that the community would be assured that an outside agency was actually had access to the raw data and was assembling the information. And that really never went anywhere, but the offer is out there, and the offer still is out there. If it leads to an issue with the department, if that will help them as this thing moves forward, I will be open to offering that again. But again, there might be budgetary personnel issues involved with it, because it's a lot of work to put something like this out. But that's out there now. I want to alert the board that we're going to keep an eye on it, keep watching it, and if there's something we can do to help the department, we will do that, because this is really an important piece for police community relations and community trust in the department to know. It's like when we put out our use of force data 2 years ago. Just having letting the community have access to data that in other communities they don't even have the ability to look at this kind of information. Here in D.C., you know, it's now becoming a public record open to anybody and open source, as an open source resource. So that alone, I think, will go a long ways in helping with community, police-community relations. The part that MP is going to have to deal with now, though, is all the repercussions about criticism about how the report is put together, things like where the data is coming from. There will be different community groups that are questioning it, and it's going to be a process, probably a years-long process, to work through the ongoing issues and how they're going to continue putting out the report and whether they're even going to continue putting out a monthly report or how it's going to work. It's all a new, completely new thing here. So we'll see how it works out, and we'll offer assistance as needed for whatever we can. Does any of the board have any comments or questions about the Stop and Frisk Mirror Act data? Just want to make sure. I just want to have a simple conversation about it. Alert you that we are looking at it and we're aware of it. And remind everybody that one of the reasons that that was done was because about 2.5, maybe it was 3 years ago, more than 3 years ago, in our performance review hearing of OPC, this is one of the things that we had suggested be done as part of the NEAR Act. And in the NEAR Act hearings, when I testify, this is one of the things that we suggested to be done. And now we're at that point. It's not that we're actually getting data on it. So we'll just see that where that leads us at all. Overall, it's a very good step in the right direction. The next and the last item on critical issues update is also a very good step in the right direction, and that's the Police Community Relations Survey. That was also part of the NEAR Act legislation that we recommended. And the first survey was put out by the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council. That was for the period of fiscal year 18. And I sent the link to everybody on the board to that, too. And in your packet is just the executive summary of the report. And I put that in your packet just as a reminder. Just, again, it's one of the NEAR Act requirements that the department is complying with and other agencies are complying with. It's something we are watching closely. And I wanted to mention a couple of things with respect to the report. Without going into a lot of detail, it's well over 100 pages, the actual survey. But yeah, when you look at the executive summary, as far as surveys go, and this is, again, my personal opinion, as far as police relations surveys, this is one of the more thorough ones that I can recall in many years. I think they did a very good job of putting this survey together. I think the way that, you know, there might be some questions later on about, you know, the survey sample and the overall what research analysts call is reliability of the survey and the survey sample. There's always questions about that in any survey you do. But just the way that it's assembled here is, I'm pretty happy with it. Some of the things that were not really brought out a lot in the news media, I've got to find my notes here, and some of the other reports about it were, generally the survey results were that a lot of people are happy. We're happy with the police department. But also in the report are some news that's not so good. And that's what we really expected. And it's not that inconsistent with other major urban areas, and that's with respect to the racial differences with the survey. So the survey identified, just to highlight a couple of things, with respect to the racial differences, African-American respondents were overwhelmingly more likely to have reported being stopped by police. They were statistically less likely to find the police to be fair and biased. And the two predominantly African-American wards, wards 4 and 7, were less likely than other wards to find the police to be fair and unbiased. And there were also district-wide, African Americans were considerably less likely than other racial groups to agree that officers' actions in stops were fair and justified. So the fact we have this information is really good because these are things the survey identified, and that, to me, that tells me that we did a good survey. They did a good job on the survey getting to those, drilling down to that kind of information and data rather than just trying to gloss over it, because certainly that's going to be part of the most important results of the survey is how the racial differences fit in into the picture. But it also demonstrates that we have a lot of work to do here. And again, it's not just here, but every major urban area and every major urban police department, I suspect, might have similar survey results that we don't know, because not every urban area does a survey like this. And one of the reasons they don't do it is they might be afraid of the information. Here, again, this is something very good because we did a survey here as part of the NEAR Act, and now here's the information publicly available. I think it should be distributed more widely if we can through the community groups. I think there's work to be done that way. I didn't see it. For instance, I didn't see any press releases. I didn't see anything come out in the news media. And I think a lot of people in the community are actually unaware that this report has been published and came out. So that's one area I think that could be improved upon.
When was it officially released? Wasn't it
March?
March 29th is the date on the survey. Then it came out, like, maybe it was published on the website, I think, maybe a couple weeks after that. So middle or late April.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit after that. So I put it on the agenda to alert everyone. This is something that it's one of those things that's common in our line of work in police oversight. It's something that's good and it's something that's bad. They're good, you know, we have some results that need to be improved upon, but it's very good that we know about these results, and it's very good that it's being transparent and that we have information available, because not every city can say that. And it was a result of this board's action 3 years ago through the NEAR Act that we have this survey today. So, another good thing.
Have we tried to distribute this via social media or do anything to try to make sure people know it exists?
We have not taken that, and that's been a purposeful intent on my part, because we were not the originating agency.
Yeah.
So there's maybe other ways. I think my suggestion would be, since it involves another agency in MPD, that it's really MPD's prerogative to help that Criminal Justice Coordinating Council get the word out more rather than us. But if no one else wants to do it, then we'll do it for them. But I want to give them an opportunity to do that first. I think that's the proper way to do it. And if there's a way we can help in between there, we certainly will. But.
So a former intern of mine works at CJCC, so when I have drinks with him next Friday, I will ask him what CJCC is doing in terms of getting this out to the public.
Great.
And if they need help. So.
Great. And that will be helpful. All right. That's all I have on the critical issues update. Since our last meeting, we issued a report through Alicia Yass, who worked primarily on policy reports. We issued 19-2, which was the update on crisis intervention officers in the program there. Then the board had approved that on August 7th. And then on August 28th, just as a reminder, we issued 19-3, which was the duty to intervene recommendation. And we're currently working tonight, which I'll get to in a minute, on a third policy recommendation. But I'm going to continue the rest of the board report first. And the next one I wanted to mention was with respect to outreach. We're still reaching out to all the ANCs and going to as many ANC meetings as we can. That's going to be continuing through the rest of the year. And you'll see in the written report the different ANCs that we've been at so far, along with other community meetings.
Are we still doing community partnership building and outreach?
Yes, we still have a community partnership meeting. program, and that's still an active program.
Have we added any community partners recently?
I would have to check with Keisha. I'm not sure. I don't think we've added any in the last month and a half, 2 months.
That would be great if we could have an update on that.
Sure. We have some new interns. We don't have any interns here tonight.
Nope.
We have new interns that started. None of them are here tonight. That pretty much completes that board report that I have wanted to highlight. The dismissal schedule is on page 4. We have the dismissal schedule going out to the end of the year, so you can plan ahead on it for now. The next thing I want to go to is the investigation status as part of the board report, and I'll ask Mona to speak to that. In your packet is a separate page that includes the current investigation status data. The one that's attached to the board report is an older report that from earlier on. The one we're going to refer to tonight is on a separate piece of paper that was in the front of your packet. So, Mona Andrews, could you give us the highlights on the investigation status?
So the main highlights is just that what Mike already alluded to earlier in the report, that our new complaint numbers are continuing to go up. It's only about 5% increase over last year, but still that's an increase over last year, which was pretty equal to the year before. So we're definitely with a week and 2 days left in this fiscal year. I'm sure we'll hit the 800. We'll be in at least at 800 by the end of September 30th, which is the end of the year. So on Monday the 30th is when we'll shut the numbers down, and I expect it since we're already almost at 780.
Yes, and we are as of today.
Oh, okay, 780. So I expect us to be at 800. So today we already have more than we ever have, because I think our previous record was 780. And our contacts slightly up, but that's to be understandable as well. And I think that's the highlight. We are, you know, pretty much keeping up, but the numbers are creeping up as we have more complaints. Hopefully that 11th investigator position will help us, you know, deal with the increased numbers and the increased numbers that continue now 3 years. So that's all I really have. Anyone have any questions about the September one?
Sorry. So since it's been 3 years, right, since we've had increased numbers, when do we consider this the new normal?
Well, when I went to the council in the spring, I indicated that this is the new normal now, and that's why we were granted the extra position, the new position starting next month. I think we're at the realization stage that this isn't going to go down anytime soon, as long as we keep doing a good job in our investigations and the community has their confidence in us and doing a good job. We're going to continue getting a high number of complaints, and it's one of those, again, a good thing and a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been stretching the staff to some pretty exceptional limits on occasion, but they've, for the most part, they've kicked in and contributed and have stepped up their operational tempo to keep up with it. But when we get the new position filled, we'll be in an even better position to keep handling it. We continue looking at technology improvements. We've talked about it in the past, but I haven't updated you since the question was asked now. But we did have a technology review done a few months ago.
That's right.
It's called the Acorn Study. Acorn is the name of the company, the vendor contractor that we brought in to look at not just our technology, but our internal administrative processes. And they have submitted a report, and we're going to, I haven't shared that with you yet on what we're going to do, because we haven't met internally yet to review the report and make a determination about the way forward. And what recommendations we're going to be following up with. But that's the current status. Is the next step is for the management staff to sit down and go through the report that ACORN has produced and identify some other steps that we can take in our internal processes to make things even easier for the investigator and for office operations. Rochelle was involved pretty intimately in that process. Did you have anything to add about the ACORN study? No? Okay. So when that happens, I'll certainly update the board on how that's going. But it's still an ongoing process, and we're always looking at suggestions. And I think all the investigators in here know, because I indicate on a lot of occasions, if you see something that we can do differently or better, bring it up, and we'll see if we can incorporate it.
If you see something, say something.
That's right. It's the same thing. It's nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
And they do bring things up. So.
Well, that's good. You should. And you can always say, I said so in a board meeting.
Write this down.
All right. Mona, you were done then, right?
Yes.
With your part?
Unless there are any other questions.
No. I don't have any about the numbers. Is anybody else?
No.
Okay. I'll ask one. It looks like we're referring some more to MPD than we did last year, like mm-hmm. a pretty good number more. Anything in particular?
No, just, you know, most of those are jurisdiction based, and that number really went up a lot too when with the NERAC they have to refer everything to us, even cases that they know aren't in our jurisdiction if it comes from a complainant. So even cases that they suspect will come back because it's an anonymous complaint or because it's a service related complaint, you know, I report, you know, I didn't like the report, failed to take a report, those kinds of complaints. So in the past, they would just keep those, and they send them to us, and we send them back. So that's part of it. And I think anytime there's the volume, I mean, it's percent-wise, it's, you know, still on track with what we've seen before. But as we have more volume, everything kind of goes up. So.
Right. And it's not that doesn't mean that it's a dead end. That's mm-hmm. what we wanted to happen, because what that does then is put that complaint in our system. In our complaint system, and it gives us the authority later on, since we received it, to later on audit and monitor what the result of those complaints are, where we weren't able to, we did not always know what was going on with complaints that were filed with MPD. We only had a handle on what was coming in here. So now we have a better handle on the overall picture of all complaints and put it in one place, and that was the whole purpose of it. Thanks. So if there's, were there any other questions about it? And that completes my conversation about the board report.
I'm going to add one more thing to finish this.
Sure.
And that is, could we just give the board an update, since I'm very familiar with the regional NACOL conference that's happening here in November. I just don't know that the rest of the board is.
Sure. Thank you for bringing that up. And Rochelle will be the best person to do that, I think.
Well, thank you.
So she's on the board, committee.
Mr. Tobin has agreed with NACOL to host, per their request, a regional NACOL conference in Washington, D.C. It's going to be on November 15th. We've been planning it and behind the shadows since January, but it's actually coming to fruition now. So it's November 15th. It's going to be all day. There's going to be four different sessions. Mary Che is sponsoring us and hosting us at the George Washington University School of Law School. So that's where it will be held. They're giving us the facilities, the AV support, and things like that. There's going to be two, so she, hopefully, we will confirm that she'll do opening remarks with Mr. Tobin. There'll be four sessions, a morning session about the different board models that hopefully Paul Ashton will moderate for us. I'm not sure he's agreed yet. Mm-hmm. The other panel will be a panel on linguistics and investigations. One of our mediators, hopefully, will be a panelist along with the academic person. Mark Cross is going to be here. He's one of our senior investigators for that. That will talk about the different types of communications that all investigators should be aware of, or best practices with the different types of community members and different types of language skills that we get when we're dealing with different types of the community and the population. In the afternoon, we will have a panel on the different types of discipline and civilian oversight models. In D.C., we do not have the option of recommending discipline, but other civilian oversight agencies do. Some actually impose the discipline, some recommend it, some don't have any involvement in it at all, like us. So we will have different panelists from those different types of oversight models to talk about the varieties that are in civilian police oversight. Danielle Sutton will be the investigator moderator for a panel on when police interactions have caused harm to a community member. We will have a community member from Baltimore who was actually paralyzed after a police interaction, and a police officer from the Baltimore City talking about how their agency has dealt with those things to kind of give some insight to how other communities are handling that. There'll be a networking lunch, and there will be a networking reception. So if you want to attend, let me know. We will comp your fee. I'll work that through the NACOL director. But there will be other board people there. So it might be a good networking opportunity for the different East Coast offices that are coming. I think people from Atlanta are coming. I think we're working with Cami McElney from the NACOL director of training. She said people from Providence are really interested in this and may come. People from upstate New York and Rochester may come. So it looks like across the Eastern Seaboard, we're getting a lot of people interested in this regional location. So that's where we're at.
What day is it again?
November 15th. It's a Friday. It'll be the Friday before our board meeting. Just let me know anytime before, and I'll make sure we get your registration taken care of and special nameplate for you or something.
Yeah, the big picture context is NACOL does this about 2 or 3 times a year in different parts of the country, and anyone in the country is invited to it. And in the past, they've we've had some people attend in different cities, but they've had pretty good attendance, and they've been good, really excellent networking events. So there'll be board members like yourself there. There'll be people from police departments. There'll be people from anywhere from the level of investigator on to executive director from all different agencies. So if you do have the opportunity to even come for part of the time, it would be a really good opportunity to stop in and see how that works. And it will be an all hands on deck activity for our entire office too, and we'll be talking to the staff more about that when we get to that portion, which will be pretty soon.
Yeah, the staff has been totally involved in organizing the panels, the networking, the reception location, and we'll have them all attend as well, because not everyone gets to go to the annual conferences, and so we'll make it available for everyone to attend so they can network with the practitioners that have come from wherever.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Since I've been on some of these phone calls, I'll
update people. Good call.
And the annual conference is next week. I will be joining some folks in Detroit.
And two of us are on panels. Two people from our office are on panels.
What are the panels?
So Mona's on one and Natasha's on one.
Yeah, so I'm on a bias policing panel.
With New York?
Talking about, New York. And talking about tackling bias policing complaints, discrimination complaints. In what we do here in D.C., and I'm talking about investigations, but also how we translate that, all the work we're doing with the training academy and, addressing some of these issues, including language, and also, policy, highlighting the policy reports that we do, because if you have good data and you have sustained data, you have, the teeth to be able to do that. So I'll be highlighting all the great things we're doing here to be able to tackle that issue and our work with MPD together to do that. And Natasha is going to be on a panel with highlighting body-worn camera and our process update on, from a couple years ago, basically. And, our process and our access and data and how we're really moving, so we're kind of ahead of the curve on collecting data and reporting it and using it and sharing it with the department to be able to improve, BWC policy and you know, use policy and everything. So she's going to be the panelist on that. And I can't remember the other. I know there's, I think, New York and I think San Francisco or some other, or no, not San Francisco. I can't remember where the other agency is. But it'll be three agencies just talking about their different experiences with body-worn camera stuff.
Okay.
So.
Excellent.
Any questions from anybody?
No. Okay, great. It's all good news. There's no bad in that. That's all good news.
That's all good news, yeah. Yes. New business?
Under new business, we have policy report 19-4, handling property, and I'll ask Alicia to talk about it. Everyone has it. All the board members have it in your packet. It was also emailed to you, and we also have the FPD response. So, Alicia?
Yes. So very briefly, the investigators were noticing mishandling property complaints. It's actually been fairly steady. There's been about the same number for the past couple of years, but it's been about 7% of our complaints, give or take. So that was sort of the impetus for it. When we looked at the issue, there's been a lot of technology advancements over the years, BWC being one of them, and officers being required to record sort of all their interactions with property was part of it, because officers are often or are required by body-worn camera policy to record when they initially take the property from a complainant. But then the entire process of logging and cataloging and getting that property to the department was not always recorded on the BWC, and that was where a lot of the issues or things happened where property did not end up where it was supposed to, but there was no real record for us to be able to track down. So that was one basis for recommendations. Another is being able to log property, using technology to log property. Our investigators were seeing that many of the districts were using paper logbooks to log property, which means that only that district station has access to the information. Nobody at NPD headquarters or investigators trying to get information, it was hard to get information about how the property was logged. Whereas if you use a computer system, anybody within the MPD system who has access to the property management system can access that information, be able to see where the property is, how it was logged, when it was logged, who it belonged to, who logged it, all that information that can be useful for a person who's trying to figure out where their property is. So updating to a more advanced electronic system for logging property was another piece of this. I will add, we're not talking about evidence here. We're talking about property. I just want to be clear.
You're talking about prisoners' property.
Personal
not just property, because all property is property. You're talking
personal
about one
property.
The prisoner's property.
Yeah.
Because
we're evidentiary property is a different issue. That would get into things with the U.S. Attorney's Office. We're not getting into that. I will, for your information, many of the computer systems that would log prisoner property that departments are using across the country are a comprehensive system that would log evidence as well, but this was not dealing with that. And then in looking at the general order on property, it is actually fairly comprehensive, and there's a lot of good things in there. We were seeing that officers are not always doing everything they're supposed to do, so it might be worthwhile to retrain officers and make sure that they are aware of all of their obligations, and that was part of it. And also, if a new system is incorporated, if a new electronic system is incorporated, that would obviously lead to changes in the general order and how things are done, which would then require a whole new training for officers. So that led to the four recommendations: adopt new technology, to establish a new system, update, which would then necessitate an update to the general order. Require that all interactions with the property be recorded on body or camera. Retrain the officers on any updates that are made to the general order. And that MPD also conduct a comprehensive audit into the complaints that we've had about property and see if there are any patterns that emerge to them that can lead to any additional changes. We provided you all with the letter from the chief of police, which actually agreed with the recommendations and mentioned that they're taking steps to already move forward on some of them. So that's the gist of it. We are putting forward today for you all for approval, for release, So if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. If people need time to read over anything, just let us know.
Well, I haven't read it, so I'm inclined not to vote today.
Okay.
I don't know that other board members have had the chance to read it either.
I did read it.
I've read it as well.
Have you read it?
Not in depth the way that I want to read it, because are you under the impression that we don't put it in an electronic system at all, that it doesn't go into evidence on cue at all?
That has been our understanding, and we were not corrected in our comments back from the chief.
For prisoner property. I want to read it a little bit more thoroughly before I vote on it.
Okay. So, we're not going to vote today.
Looks like
it. Sorry to burst any bubbles.
That is fine.
Why don't we do sort of the tradition that we've done, which is via email. If anyone has any issues, we can respond via email. We can set the deadline from a week from today. Is that fine?
Mm-hmm. I'll have it done by tomorrow.
Okay.
26th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does that work for?
Yes, if we could possibly make it a day earlier to Wednesday, but if not, 26th.
Okay. The reality is I will probably read it on the plane on Sunday, so I should be fine after that.
Okay.
I will log a vote tomorrow because Sunday I am no longer talking to anyone.
Oh, you're going on vacation.
For a week.
Good.
Where are you going?
The Caribbean.
Oh, nice.
Well, what I can do, whatever date we decide, I will send out an email immediately after this meeting to all of you and Kurt, putting in writing what that date is, and then you all can just respond back to that. Bobby, you are free to respond back immediately.
I'm fine with the 25th.
Wednesday? Okay.
The 25th.
Oh, I'll be done by tomorrow. You have a response from me by tomorrow.
I'm the only one who's not committing to
tomorrow.
Stuff to do. We'll also give Kurt a minute, too.
Right, that'll
be. We're just silently judging you.
I know.
Okay.
No judgment. No judgment over here. No judgment.
Good. Judgment abounds.
I'm judging you.
Okay. That's great.
I appreciate everybody taking the time to read it thoroughly and be sure what you're voting on. It's a really good example of identifying a pattern in our complaints and looking at it, drilling down a little bit more to see what in that pattern we could recommend to the department to help do a little better job. Because when losing property or having the department lose the property, no matter how it goes missing, it always generates an issue in the community, and it's a huge issue when it directly affects community trust. If one person loses their watch at the MPD's property system because of how it was lost, he or she's going to tell their friends, their family members, their neighbors, and they're all going to tell everybody else, and they're always going to be out. You know, MPD stole the watch. You know, and that's how it gets all convoluted. And this will really help the department, especially when they're starting the electronic system or putting more of the things into electronically and putting more on the body cameras. And I just wanted to, just point that out, that this is why we're here on policy review, is this exact kind of thing. We saw the pattern developing, was brought to our attention by some two investigators. And once we looked at it, we figured out some things that we can do different that we can recommend to the department. So I appreciate you taking the time to look at it, and we'll wait for your pending vote on it, I guess.
Yeah, I was really surprised at the amount at the prominent role of paper in 2019. That was surprising. So I'll be interested to see, Commander Kane, your review, like your thoughts, if maybe.
As we sit here with all of our paper.
I know. Even so.
The more we try to go paperless, the more paper we burn.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, anything else?
That concludes item 7, new business. Okay. We are now on item 8.
Adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
The meeting is officially adjourned at 6:49.
And I'm once a month second.